This is Indigo Ocean. Welcome to Together in Spirit. My guest today is Byron Katie, author of Loving What Is and I Need Your Love, Is That True? She'll be joining us right after the break. First, I want to share with you this week's poem from the 14th century mystic poet Hafiz. It's called The Warrior. The warriors tame the beasts in their past so that the knight's hoofs can no longer break the jeweled vision in the heart. The intelligent and the brave open every closet in the future and evict all the mind's ghosts who have the bad habit of barfing everywhere. For a long time, the universe has been germinating in your spine, but only a saint has the talent, the courage to slay the past giant, the future anxieties. The warrior wisely sits in a circle with other men, gathering the strength to unmask himself. Then sits giving, great illumined planet on the earth. Most of us spend our lives judging things, especially judging what to love or not love, what to accept and what to reject, what to award and what to punish. We do this partly out of conditioning. We grew up having it done to us, and so we reflexively imitate that. And we do it partly out of a belief that somehow this constant act of judging is going to save us. It's going to protect us from some harm or put right something that has gone terribly wrong in the world. The most valuable understanding comes when we realize that the pain of not loving is just too much to bear. It's too high a price to pay for the promises offered by judgment. Promises that are never delivered on anyway. Judgment, especially when concluded with the decision to withhold ourselves from love, never actually makes us safe. Discrimination is important, but it isn't the same thing as judgment. Discrimination simply involves looking directly at what is there, seeing it clearly, and deciding what we want in relationship to it. Do we feel comfortable stopping to pick up this hitchhiker, or don't we? What's the truth about what we want in this situation? Judgment goes beyond that to add the decision whether to attack the hitchhiker in our minds. What a bum. Probably a criminal. Who does he think he is, expecting a free ride? Get a job like the rest of us and discipline yourself so that you can afford your own car. The nerve of some people. And now he ruined my good mood. What right has he to stand there beside the road asking strangers for help? I'm exaggerating a bit to make the point, but do you see a bit of yourself in that sketch? Do you ever get angry when people ask you for something you don't want to give? Discrimination might simply say, no, I don't want to pick him up, and leave it at that. But judgment takes offense at the very request for assistance, then blames the requester for that offense. Have you ever been attacked for expressing your needs? Have you ever attacked yourself for it? Think about it. You attack yourself every time you suppress yourself, every time you punish yourself in advance for not even allowing yourself to ask for what you want. So of course you get angry when others dare to break the rules you've set, when they have the nerve to honor their wants or needs enough to express them, especially if that is the expression of a need to be loved, to be helped, to be embraced even by a stranger, which is a form of unconditional love, the most threatening kind of all to the ego. They have given you nothing, offered nothing in the future either, and yet they stand there asking to be helped and expecting someone to say yes. It doesn't have to be you, but you don't want anyone to say yes. You don't want them asking, and you don't want to be reminded of how you have judged yourself to be hard-hearted, selfish, and condemning. You don't want to drive past them and feel the painful guilt of your self-judgment, and you don't realize you could just drive past without feeling guilty. Their asking to be loved is not your problem. Your judgments about how and when love should be shared, among whom, and depending on what preliminary performance, that's your problem. Do you want to stop or don't you? That's discrimination. Should you or shouldn't you? And should they be there asking or shouldn't they? That's judgment. Judgment is the problem. I repeat what I said before. The most valuable understanding comes when we realize that the pain of withholding our love is just too much to bear. That is the highest price judgment extracts from us. And focusing only on the judgment leading to a decision to reject something or someone as unlovable, because judgment that ends in a decision for conditional acceptance isn't as big a problem. It just wastes time and energy and creates a bad habit, while giving the false teaching that judgment itself can be constructive. It can't. At best, it wastes us, and at worst, it slowly suffocates us so that we wither away. So, particularly the judgment that says, this is not to be embraced, that judgment is what I want you to feel the pain of. I want you to hone in on it so that it cuts so deeply that you realize that you've got to let it go in order to survive. I want your full, unwavering resolve that you're going to get this razor out of your gut, whatever it takes. When Katie joins us later, she's going to teach you a method for freeing your mind from the grip of judgment, one that has worked for a lot of people, and that might just work for you too, but only if you let it. As I've said in previous weeks, any tool, however powerful, can only transform you if you are actually willing to be transformed. Recently, I went to a gathering with about 100 other people and a visiting Hindu saint. The saint invited everyone to come up for something called darshan, which roughly translates as sighting of the divine. You get to sit directly in front of an enlightened person, looking directly at them, and having them look directly back at you, right at you, just at you, with your full attention locked on each other. This is said to clear away our false seeing, which imagines a world of dualities. Some deserving embrace and others rejection, so that we see only with holy vision, which sees only what is real and knows that only love is real. So I go up for my darshan. My turn comes and goes. I'm back at my seat, and suddenly I realize I never opened my eyes. I never looked at him. I don't know why I didn't, but I spent the remainder of the evening wishing I could go again and being disappointed in myself. At the end of the night, as I walked out of the room, there he was, standing by the lobby door, about 10 feet away from me and looking right at me. I ducked back into the main room. Then, feeling the press of the people behind me trying to get out, I mustered up the courage to step back out into the lobby. There he was still, looking right at me and smiling. I took a couple of hesitant steps forward, then stepped to the side and stood there waiting for someone else to go up to him first. All I wanted was my second chance. All I wanted was to walk up to him, stand only a foot in front of him, and look directly into his face as he looked into mine. But I couldn't bring myself to go after the love I wanted. After a few moments, he realized I wasn't going to do it. His smile faded, and he turned and walked out without anyone going up to him. In his great generosity and mercy, he had offered me my second chance at darshan that night, but I couldn't allow myself to accept it. The beauty and grace of it is that as I drove home that night, understanding cut so deeply that I wept, and I went on weeping off and on for 2 days. I saw clearly how I have deprived myself by thinking that I lived in a world of lack. There is no lack here. There is only the decision to accept the love that is there, to meet it, to let it in, or not to. There is nothing inherently unlovable, and nothing so lovable that it cannot be denied by one who has chosen not to accept it. There is no right answer, no absolute truth about what is lovable and what is not. There is no triumph of accuracy possible in such judgments. There is only the joy and freedom of giving ourselves wholly to love, or the pain of withholding ourselves. That's it. That's the only real choice I see anyway. What other choice do you see? I hope that by sharing some of my pain, I can help you to feel more of yours. I hope that there is some glimmer of recognition in you, some slight awareness at least, that withholding yourself from the flow of love has cost too much in your life, and that you are not willing to sacrifice yourself anymore. I wrote to my Lama after this experience. I sent him a recording of a song I wrote for him and asked for his blessing in a challenging situation. He wrote back with the poetry and sweetness that is his way. But more importantly than what he said was the presence of love that enveloped me at the time he wrote it. I know that from the timestamp on his message. At that time, the bleakness that had descended on me suddenly lifted, and and the storm around me became a brilliant dance of shaking leaves and light. I literally saw the gray sky and wind and tumultuous rain outside my window as a thing of tremendous beauty, and I sat there in awe watching the leaves shimmer and shake in the tropical storm. A clarity grew within me that only this beauty was real, and then I felt absolutely filled with love. Throughout the evening, each time I would pause in my work and simply attend to what I was experiencing, again I would discover this presence of love all around and through me. And I knew I could never truly be apart from love. Grace is always there, waiting for me to pay attention to it instead of clinging to my ideas about what it should look like or how it should behave. And so I stayed up most of the night writing this for you, to invite you to please, oh please, decide today to remember love, to be fully committed to letting go of whatever beliefs you need to let go of so that true knowing may emerge. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, we'll be joined by the powerful teacher of loving what is, just as it is, Byron Katie. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
The authority in Internet Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you ever wonder where your life is taking you? What is your true calling? Are your relationships serving your path? Sometimes it helps to talk to a gifted advisor who can help you bring the beauty of spiritual wisdom into your own life to answer these questions and other important questions. You can find top psychic advisors on Keen. They'll give you accurate readings on relationships, health, work, whatever's on your mind. Want to talk to a psychic advisor at Keen right now? This is a great time to do it because right now, Keen has a special deal for Together in Spirit listeners. You get a full 10-minute reading for just $1.99. You heard that right. 10 minutes for just $1.99. Call 1-800-648-1417 to talk with a psychic advisor now. That's 1-800-648-1417. Or visit beingblissbook.com for more details. You must be 18 years old and have a credit card ready. Call 1-800-648-1417. Don't struggle another day in confusion. Get help to find the answers you need now. Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Powerful Prayer with host Connie Coddington. Each week, Connie and her guests will explain the healing system called Christian Science and share stories of how they have used the spiritual laws of God to bring healing to their lives. You can learn how to bring healing to your life too. So tune in to Powerful Prayer with host Connie Coddington every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Voice America, America's Voice.
How can you have a better life on your terms? You can have a better life because you can become better. Stop waiting for everything around you to change. Tune in every Wednesday at 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time on Voice America for Life on Your Terms with David Martin. David Martin, an internationally recognized speaker, will teach you what successful people are doing. So join us Wednesday at 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time for Life on Your Terms with David Martin, right here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Bringing you around the world right from your desktop. VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to Together in Spirit with Indigo Ocean. If you have a question or comment, call us toll free 1-866-472-5788. Now back to the program. Here's Indigo.
Hi, I'm Indigo Ocean. Welcome back to Together in Spirit. We're joined now by Byron Katie, author of Loving What Is and I Need Your Love, Is That True? And creator of the simple yet powerful method of self-inquiry known as The Work. Katie, welcome to Together in Spirit.
Thank you, Indigo. Thank you.
Now, Katie, what's all this talk about love? When you speak of love, what are you referring to?
Well, you know, love, I think we all have a different definition of what it is. And if we question it, you know, for me, I've just come to see that it's the nature of everything, not only my nature, but because I've discovered that, I perceive it in the nature of everyone and everything and every situation. There's nothing that it's not. And I've also noticed, Indigo, that that the things that we believe, the thoughts that we believe, keep us from being aware that of the nature of not only ourselves, but everything.
You know, you talk in your book, I Need Your Love, Is That True? You speak about our relationship to our thoughts. Could you say a little more about that?
Well, there's nothing more personal than that. In fact, that's the only thing that's personal, our thoughts. You know, mind having a relationship with itself. And as long as mind is at war with itself, then we are at war with the dearest members of our family, even our own children and our partners. And as long as we believe what we think, this is going to be, we're still going to have war on this planet, it seems.
Right, so it's actually our relationships, we see ourselves in our relationships with others.
Well, actually, it's the mind having a relationship with itself. There isn't anything else. There's only mind. Mm-hmm. And mind's nature is loving. And any thought that opposes that, the physical body feels as stress, because the body actually is a projection of mind like everything else.
Oh.
You know, it's like we can only see what we believe. And, you know, someone will see something that you don't, and we... You know, they cannot convince you, but it's how they see, and they see it clearly, and we're not patient with these people until we are patient with ourselves.
So is it that we're not being true to ourselves when we see ourselves, you know, when we believe thoughts that are not loving?
I would say we're not being true to our nature. We're not being true to ourselves, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like if I look out at the world and I judge it as being imperfect in some way, then I may want to question that, because, you know, I love to say I'm a lover of what is, because what is, and I don't have to agree with it, I don't have to like it, and yet, what is, that's reality, and it rules what everything is, and and when we are not at war with that, then we are empowered to make a change in this moment, and this moment is the only place a change can happen. But if I am wrapped up in a path that I cannot see, and I'm believing what I think, then the path seems real. So I'm arguing with that, you know, how it should have been. I was listening to you earlier, how it should have been, how it shouldn't have been.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm too exhausted to make much of a change. I say we don't go to sleep at night, we pass out from the stress of our thoughts.
Yeah. Okay, well, what would a healthy relationship to one's thoughts look like?
Well, let's say my mind says, isn't it beautiful? Isn't this a beautiful day? Well, there's no war there. I love talking to you. Well, there's no war there. I love my husband. I think he's incredible, and he is incredible, and my children. And so I'm not, there's no war yet.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look out and I have the thought, you know, what a terrible day, then if I believe that, then it's like I'm already at war it's a kind of war, and the thoughts just flood in to prove that what I believe is true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a thought that feels like stress. It's not right or wrong, or a thought like he doesn't care about me. Why do people do these terrible things? Or, look what that person did. Isn't that terrible? You know, these thoughts, and then the mind just floods. You know, all the concepts flood in to hold it up. So it's like holding up a world that doesn't match reality. I like to say, Indigo, that reality is always kinder than the mental story we superimpose upon it.
Mm-hmm.
Reality is kind. It never hurt anyone.
But our
thoughts about reality, that's the only suffering in the world, and confusion is suffering.
Right. It's I see that as like the difference between pain and suffering.
Yes.
You know, that pain is inescapable in life. There's going to be some pain, but suffering is just the resistance to that pain, or it's the judgment about that pain.
Mm-hmm.
That it shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm. And eventually, as mind develops, as it evolves and leaves this grossness, this gross state of believing what's not, as it continues to open and open and open, see that even physical pain is projected. All pain is projected. We're just not evolved enough to understand that all pain is in the past, that it's a story of a past. And as we project the next feeling as we're in that pain, then it becomes a story of a future, and that's the pain we're experiencing. And as long as we believe what we think, you know, our thoughts about the past is what we're going to project as a future, and that's how physical pain is understood to be real.
I can understand that, too, also in terms of how spiritual healing sometimes works. I mean, I do spiritual healing, but I do a slightly different form, and I mean those people who do things that are more like, you know, someone has cancer and then they don't. You know, that maybe that's that kind of healing, that belief, then heals the body.
It's like if I don't, I am fine, I'm healthy, I'm totally, I'm cancer free, period, and then I would say an hour later I'm in my doctor's office and he says, you have cancer. That's the moment I have cancer. That's the moment I have cancer. And I believe him or I don't believe. If I don't believe him, I don't have it. If I do believe him, I do have it. And if I don't believe him, I could end up with it. He could be right. But, you know, it's not true until we believe it. That's the point I'm making. And it doesn't mean that I don't have cancer. Reality rules. That's why I say reality rules. It's the highest order. It's just that if I have cancer, can I, you know, do I love it yet? Do I love it yet?
So the healthiest relationship to our thoughts is loving the thought.
Loving what is. Loving, that's right, honey. That's exactly so in my experience. When the mind loves everything it thinks, it loves everything it sees. That's how it is. And so, you know, the work that I bring is how to question anything that would argue with what is good.
Okay. Now, I know a lot of people listening are familiar with your work, but some people aren't. In a nutshell, what is the process of the work?
Okay. It's a way to question what we believe. So I invite people to find a stressful thought, and as you're living your life throughout the day, you'll notice your thoughts. And when you isolate one that is stressful to you, like he doesn't care, no one cares, I'm lonely, she doesn't like me, I'm too fat, I'm too tall, I'm too thin. But you find one of these thoughts, and then I need more money, I need to be healthier, I'm not healthy enough. But you isolate one of these concepts and write it down, that way it's stable. And the mind can't switch around and say, oh, I didn't really mean it that way. We write it down. So,
those tricky minds.
Yeah, the tricky mind. The mind that wants to be right, the I know mind. So it's how to prove that what it believes is true. And why would it have to prove it if it's so true? So we write it down, and then the work is a way to question that thought. It consists of four questions in a turnaround. The first question is it true? The second question, can you absolutely know that it's true? The third question, how do you react when you think that thought? How do you react when you believe that thought? And then the fourth question is, who would you be without that thought? Who or what would you be without that thought? And then I invite people to turn around, and it would be, for example, he doesn't care about me, turned around to the opposite. He does care about me. And we can just burn in that because it's where the mind begins to lose what it is so invested in. And so then I invite people to find three genuine ways that examples that show that turnaround is true, like he does care about me. And then the ego just starts to burn here with acid. You sit in meditation, just still, and watch, allow the mind to open to all of the good things or any good thing, any kind thing, anything that would lead you to believe that he does care. And then find another, and then find another. And then you begin to leave the polarity of the negative going into the polarity, the genuine polarity of what you believe to be as true or truer through evidence rather than imagination. And it changes lives radically. Another turnaround, he doesn't care about me. Another turnaround is, I don't care about me. Mm-hmm. And then you begin to find the ways, again, sitting silently, be still, and find the ways that you haven't cared about you today, the ways that, that you wouldn't treat other people the way you treat yourself, the ways that you have been not gentle with yourself and not loving with yourself, and just let that flow through you and recognize it. It'll change your life, because we can't change what we haven't realized. And through this process, we begin to realize a lot, and then life changes. You know, we try to change our lives, and it's so difficult. Well, through enlightenment, life changes. So we've been working with, you know, trying to change ourselves and the world, and all we have to do is work with the mind, and then the world changes. We've had it backwards. So then another turnaround, he doesn't care about me. Another turnaround might be, I don't care about him. Mm. And then to sit in the stillness, and a lot of tears can flow here, of all the ways that you have shown him that you don't care. And all of the ways, all the things that you have done to maybe hurt him or get even or been unkind in some way. And then go make amends and begin again. Start your life from this moment right here, right now, with a clean slate. And it's very powerful. It's what allows us to live in the moment with no past. And without a past, there's no future to project. And it just leaves you in a state of excitement, not knowing what's coming next, but only knowing the one thing that you can know is it's going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, what I find,
the nature of everything is good.
What I find, I have actually been, you know, working with some of your materials, and what I find each time that I do the process is I just feel more alive when I come to the end of it. I just feel like, oh, now I can breathe.
Yeah,
there's some space here.
Yeah, and what I love about the turnaround is that it's like a re-entry into the world, and it's incredible guidance, because it comes from our own wisdom.
That's absolutely beautiful. I want to talk to you more about the work, and I have more questions. We need to take a break. We'll be back right after this with more Byron Katie, so please get your questions ready. Call in, and the number is 866-472-5788. Back after this.
World over, voiceamerica.com.
Do you ever wonder where your life is taking
great.
You? What is your true calling?
Are your relationships serving
your path?
Very
sometimes
fascinated.
It helps to talk to a gifted advisor who can help you bring the beauty of spiritual wisdom into your own life to answer these questions and other important questions. You can find top psychic advisors on Keen. They'll give you accurate readings on relationships, health, work, whatever's on your mind. Want to talk to a psychic advisor at Keen right now? This is a great time to do it, because right now, Keen has a special deal for Together in Spirit listeners. You get a full 10-minute reading for just $1.99. You heard that right. 10 minutes for just $1.99. Call 1-800-648-1417 to talk with a psychic advisor now. That's 1-800-648-1417. Or visit beingblissbook.com for more details. You must be 18 years old and have a credit card ready. Call 1-800-648-1417. Don't struggle another day in confusion. Get help to find the answers you need now.
Join Patricia Raskin, host of Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com, Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern and 11 a.m. Pacific Time. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call in to Positive Living Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern and 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Hello, this is Rory Garay, President of Greyhound Pets of America and host of Greyhounds Made Great Pets on Voice America. Join me every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern for an insightful and enjoyable talk about one of man's best friends, the greyhound. Learn about the history of the greyhound, discuss proper obedience and training techniques, and find out more about the greyhound racing industry and what they are doing to help the adoption effort of the former race dogs. If you own a greyhound or just love dogs like I do, join me for Greyhounds Make Great Pets every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific right here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Conversation at a click of a mouse. VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to Together in Spirit with Indigo Ocean. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free 1-866-472-5788. Now back to the program. Here's Indigo.
Hi, welcome back to Together in Spirit. I'm speaking with Byron Katie, author of Loving What Is and I Need Your Love, Is That True? We were talking a little bit about Byron Katie's The Work and how one does the work and what comes out of it. We have a caller on the line, Batapi calling from San Francisco. Hi there, are you there, Batapi?
Yes, I am.
Hi,
Batapi.
You have a question?
Well, I did. Hi, Byron. Hi, Indigo. I am new to the work and really loving it so far, and I'm having trouble sometimes with my turnarounds. If I find a thought about somebody that says, okay, they're fat and unattractive, and then I turn it around to, well, I'm fat and unattractive, and then I get stuck because that's actually how I think, and I don't know how to turn that around.
I really love that you walk it through the four questions first.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sweetheart, you're too fat, is that true?
It seems to be so.
Okay, so are you too fat to be you?
Feels that way.
Are you too fat to be you right now?
Well, I am what I am, so.
Yes. So I cannot be too fat or too thin to be me right now. You know, the world is perfect. The universe is perfect. Someone's got to be you. You know, no one in the world could be you. They don't have the courage. You're the only one that could do it. So how do you react when you think the thought you're too fat?
Oh, it makes me terribly sad.
Yeah, and then how do you live your life when you're sad and you think the thought and you believe you're too fat?
Oh, I keep on eating.
Yes, and that's what happens. You know, it's one of the reactions of thinking through thoughts because they're so stressful. So how else do you live? You know, what kind of clothes do you wear maybe to hide it? Or do you hide your whole body? Do you stay in? Do you isolate?
No.
So how do you react? You know, how do you live your life?
I do live a little quietly and a little isolated.
Yeah.
And a little scared to be seen.
Yeah. You know, going out means that someone might think about you what you think about you.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's just you thinking again.
Yeah.
And those thoughts keep us isolated sometimes, and they keep our self-esteem low, and then depression is what comes of it, and living small lives. And so who would you be without the thought, I'm too fat? Who would you be if you could not think that thought?
Oh, I'd be outgoing and charming and pretty wonderful.
Yeah, you'd be exactly you, only having a much kinder life, much more fun. And then people would think what they think. So we're just working with your thinking. So I'm too fat, turn it around.
I'm not too fat.
No, not too fat to be you.
And
it doesn't mean you're not going to be thin tomorrow. It doesn't mean anything about the future. It just means that right now, right here, right now, I am this. I am this. You know, can I do it? There are two ways to be me. One is happy and one is depressed. Stressed out. So, I'm too fat. Turned around, I am not too fat. So find a place, you know, find a place. And, you know, another way to do it, too, is when we're working with an object and a body is an object, is to say, my thoughts. So I'm too fat, turned around, my thoughts are too fat. Feel how heavy they weigh on you.
Yeah.
Such a burden. What's more painful? Your thoughts about your body or your body?
Oh, definitely my thoughts.
Yeah, so there's nothing to do but work with the mind, you know. So working with the mind is the perfect diet, and I love you found the work. And, sweetheart, the other was I'm fat and unattractive. Then you work with you're unattractive. Is that true?
I guess no.
Yeah, it's your answer that means everything. If I think that I'm unattractive, then to someone else, I may be attractive. And if they say, oh, Katie, you're so attractive, if my opinion is the only one I value, then I'm going to see them as liars, or I'm going to see them as someone that's just trying to make me feel better. But I'm not going to hear them. I'm not going to honor their belief about me. Mine is going to override it. So if someone says, basically, I love you, how can I believe it? As long as I'm believing my thoughts. Until we love ourselves, we can't really believe that people love us for who and what we are. So you're unattractive. So turn it around.
I'm attractive.
Yes. Now give me three things that are very attractive about you so that you can hear it.
I have a lovely smile.
Wow. I love that you own that. I love that.
Yeah.
And I love that you pass it on to as many people as you can genuinely offer it to, because it's such medicine for you.
Yes, it is.
You know, the truth of I have an attractive smile, what an amazing thing to realize. Okay, that's one. What else is attractive about you?
My personality.
Yeah, I really get that too.
I have great humor and empathy and, I don't know.
And an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
A very open mind.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love that. Okay, that's two. Can you do one more? You hear about taking your own inventory. Well, you know, it's just the whole being. What else about you do you find attractive or do you see as attractive?
Well, ultimately, my love of life, I think, is
my
love of learning and my love of, I really want to love my life.
Yeah.
And I think that's the greatest point of attraction.
Well, as you question everything that you don't love about it, then that only leaves life to love.
Oh, that's nice.
And that's very powerful. You know, as I live my life, I can't find anything not to love because I live out of a questioned mind. Just everything I see. One of my sons was in an accident, which I don't believe in, but that's how we describe it here. And he is in the hospital and after surgery, I'm just, you know, I just cannot find a problem, and in my presence, he can't find one either. And there's a big rod going through two of his legs. Oh my goodness! But you know, it's what we think about life. It's our thoughts about life, not life, that is the problem. And he just keeps waking up saying, "Oh, Mom, I'm so lucky! I'm so lucky! I can't believe that my head isn't, you know, broken or I still have two legs, even if there are big rods going." Anyway,
yes.
You know, it's how we see it.
Yes.
It's how we see it. And it can't be faked. And his gratitude is genuine as I see it. And I certainly know that mine is. And honey, I love that. So are you too fat and unattractive?
No.
No, that's very good to know. You know, if I weigh 500 pounds and someone says, Katie, you are too fat and unattractive, my thought would be how unfortunate that they would see me that way. I hope they do better.
Yeah.
They just don't know what I know yet. I am not too fat to be me. And I know from my own personal experience what I find attractive, and I wear it all over me. To my core. Because I've just recognized it, that's all. Like you, honey. So have you tried the hotline yet on the website?
I've printed out the numbers. I have not yet.
Oh my gosh, it is so exciting. There are over 700, like almost 800 profiles in there of people that will work with you for money or free. But if you go to the hotline, it's all volunteers, no charge, and they've all been to the 9-day school for the work, and they're so amazing.
Is there one number for that, Katie?
Well, it's It's on the website.
Okay.
And each volunteer has their own number.
Oh, I see.
And people who are on Skype can also make those free calls that way.
Oh, terrific. Perfect. Well, Batapi, thank you so much.
Thank
for
you. Thank you so much.
And it's nice to meet you.
You too. Bye.
Bye, honey.
Bye. That was really great. And, you know, there are a few things that I really took away from listening to you talking to her, quite a few things, actually. And one of the things I wanted to kind of hone in on is that, you know, again, what she started off with of realizing was how she was seeing others was being affected by how she saw herself.
Yes.
And what you honed in on was her self-relationship. And we can say, well, the body is something absolute, but is it? I mean, just like when we talked about cancer, well, hey, what is cancer?
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of different things.
Yeah. You know, I say it has a right to live, too.
Right.
Everything has a right to live. And so if I have cancer, I don't want to kill it. You know, I just want to work with it and do my chemotherapy or whatever it is I believe in and work with it and just know that it came in its own time and it'll go in its own time and it has a right to be here. It has a right to come. It has a right to go.
Right. But the pain is of that resistance. Like, no, there's something wrong with this.
Yeah.
I have to be at war with
yeah.
this.
Yeah, and that, oh my goodness, that doesn't, you know, if when we experience the stress around that kind of thinking and that kind of war, internal war that's going on, then, you know, it's, they have to give people meds just to prepare them, their immune system to take on the chemo because the stress is so great. Mm-hmm. But if people were so fearful, if they questioned what they believed and came to see what's true, you know, which is just, you know, loving what is without being at war with it, then the immune systems can stay high and find balance with everything.
Now, another thing in what she was talking about, we only have really just another minute before we have to take a break, so maybe we'll just start on this and we can pick it up more later, but I also heard a lot about seeking approval,
mm-hmm.
and I know that you write in your book quite a bit about that, and so maybe we'll go ahead and take a break now. When we come back, maybe we can talk more about some of the false beliefs people carry about what it takes to receive love and appreciation.
Great.
All right, so we'll be back with Byron Katie right after this. So stay tuned.
From our home to your speakers, VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you ever wonder where your life is taking you? What is your true calling? Are your relationships serving your path? Sometimes it helps to talk to a gifted advisor who can help you bring the beauty of spiritual wisdom into your own life to answer these questions and other important questions. You can find top psychic advisors on Keen. They'll give you accurate readings on relationships, health, work, whatever's on your mind. Want to talk to a psychic advisor at Keen right now? This is a great time to do it because right now, Keen has a special deal for Together in Spirit listeners. You get a full 10-minute reading for just $1.99. You heard that right. 10 minutes for just $1.99. Call 1-800-648-1417 to talk with a psychic advisor now. That's 1-800-648-1417. Or visit beingblissbook.com for more details. You must be 18 years old and have a credit card ready. Call 1-800-648-1417. Don't struggle another day in confusion. Get help to find the answers you need now.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. Here you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Mom! My tooth fell out!
The coach says I can play shortstop!
I get to be a deciduous tree!
You live for the first in your child's life. But how do you cope with the firsts that come after your child is diagnosed with cancer? CureSearch.org connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
the Internet's premier talk radio station, VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to Together in Spirit with Indigo Ocean. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free 1-866-472-5788. Now back to the program. Here's Indigo.
Hi, welcome back to Together in Spirit. We're speaking with Byron Katy, the creator of the powerful self-inquiry method called The Work, which we just got to hear before the break, her leading the Vitapi through. And it was very powerful. And one of the themes that I picked up on that also was about seeking approval, approval seeking. And I know that you write about that in your latest book. What are some of the common false beliefs people carry about what they need in order, what they need to do in order to be liked or appreciated?
Well, you know, it's interesting how you know, I spent so much of my life saying what I thought people wanted me to say. And looking the way I think that would, you know, please other people so that they would see me as, you know, this identity that I was carrying of who I wanted to be or who I wanted to look like or what I wanted to be, these identities we carry around. And so we do what we think they want us to do, and we say what we think they want us to say, and so we have turned into someone we're not. We are a facade. Mm-hmm. And it's not surprising when someone says, as I mentioned earlier, someone says, I love you, that we don't believe them because the person they love, it's a facade, and we know it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they fall in love with that facade, and then, let's say, we marry, and then the real me pops up, and then I'm so shocked when they don't love me anymore, and I scream, you promised, you promised. But the person they married they married me instead.
It was like we never gave them a chance to.
Yeah, and I have so many examples in the book of people that were interviewed that just dropped their story long enough to be themselves and begin to notice the miracle all around them, that people loved them, cared about them, and they did nothing for it other than just to be themselves, their authentic self. And that's how we're left as we continue to question what we believe about ourselves and others. We're left as an authentic human being, a loving, caring human being, just the way that we are.
You know, what's funny is I think that a lot of the times, you know, the ego or personality identity likes to feel like it can control things, mm-hmm. and it would almost rather have conditional love that it feels it can control and cause than unconditional love that's just sort of there.
Well, you know, it's really the false belief that we're controlling the way people see us.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it's just that, you know.
Yeah. We like to think we can control it.
Yeah. It's like, boy, I sure said and did the right thing. He really likes me. And so, you know, how are we going to top that?
Uh-huh.
Living out of a false self.
Right. And it creates a lot of anxiety to try to keep maintaining that.
It does. And all the stuff around the body that people are just dying. You know, they're vomiting. I know that I have I'm friends with so many of people in the music industry and the acting industry, et cetera, and you know, keeping up this basically they're just, you know, so many of them, and it's not uncommon that very, very young people are just vomiting and vomiting and vomiting. You know, I've been to the last two public restrooms I've been in, there were young ladies in there vomiting.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, what an odd thing. What an odd thing.
Well, you know, in a way there's like almost this metaphor that's going on where they get that they want to get something out. You know, and but really it's these beliefs that they want to kind of purge themselves
of.
Yeah,
the beliefs about ourselves.
And it's taking form through the body, and they're attaching it as if the body was real, and then they're trying to get it out of the body.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really the level
that it's really happening at.
No. And then when we get what we think we want, and we use our body as collateral to get that, then maintaining it it can be a nightmare.
Mm.
And then when that falls away, you know, through age or sickness or disease or obesity or whatever, we have attached our self-worth to that. And nothing could be truer, you know. And those are just words that when people are in it, they don't do a lot of good.
Mm.
Yeah, to question our beliefs, our concepts, one by one, leaves, you know, us as free, mind as free and creative and wonderful. And when it loves everything, it's, you know, if people they just really stop and they had a choice to have the perfect body, meaning healthy, youthful, flexible, gorgeous, handsome, whatever it is, the perfect body, or a mind that was at peace, you know, what would be the choice?
Mm.
And it's always a peaceful mind.
Yeah.
When we stop and think about it, it's always the peaceful mind that we seek. So, you know, I invite people, you know, from the bottom of my heart and experience to work with the mind and the body will follow. That's just how it is.
And I know you have a number of tools on your website that will help people. Her website is thework.com, thework.com. So please do go take a look there.
Yeah, and, or ByronKatie.com will take them there too.
Okay.
And there are people there that will walk people through the work if there's anyone out there that's suffering.
And I know that there's also a free pamphlet that you send out to people, a little booklet.
Oh, yes, there's this marvelous little book. It just walks you through the work, and it's free, and it's nice if people give like a dollar donation or something, but mm-hmm. unnecessary, and that's on the website too, and there's a store, and the book's in the store. And
it's great listening to your recordings, too. I mean, I've been reading through the books, but also when you hear it, just like when the caller called in, it was so great hearing you speaking with Batapi, because it brings up our own, when you feel somebody else's emotions behind what they're experiencing as they go through the work, it allows you to tap into those same chords in yourself.
Yeah.
Even if the situation may be a little different of what you're facing, it's still a universal theme of the process they're going through. It's a process we're all going through.
Yeah. And you know, I found there are only so many universal thoughts, and they come in different languages, but there aren't that many, really. And if we question them, the freedom that it brings is nothing short of miraculous. And there's also a list of a few universal beliefs on the website that people can walk through. And a lot of fun on that website.
Yeah.
Clearing the mind, loving what is.
Well, and I want to suggest to people also that you do pick up a copy of her latest book, I Need Your Love, Is That True? You know, we don't really have a whole lot more time. We're going to have to end pretty soon, but there were a few more things in there that were really wonderful. You talk about personalities, you know, personalities don't love, you know, they want something, and, you know, learning how to relate with each other, not from that place of wanting, but from a deeper place, I think is incredibly valuable. And I mean, I don't know if we just have a teeny bit of time, but can you say anything about that?
Well, you know, the clearer people get, the more we come to see that we already have everything we want. We already have everything we need, as radical as that sounds. In fact, we have more than we need. We have more than you know. It's a clear mind can see these things, and it can't be told. But mm-hmm. oh my goodness, reality is
abundant.
It's not just kind; it's benevolent. and when we believe our stories about reality, we're unable to see reality. You know what's right in front of our face.
Well, we're going to have to end now. But I thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom,
so
light, and love. So thank you, everyone, for listening to That's our show for today, and I hope it helped you to touch upon an experience of freedom and joy within you. And next week we'll be joined by the founder of Mother Wave and Soul Wave, Katie Darling, who will be teaching us how to joyously surf the waves of our being. So I hope you'll join us then. And remember, just for Together in Spirit listeners, Kane offers a 10-minute reading with their psychic advisors for just $1.99. And their number is 800-648-1417. That's 800-648-1417 for a 10-minute reading. Have a wonderful week ahead, and I'll see you again next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for another hour spent remembering that we are together in spirit. Aloha.
Thank you for listening to Together in Spirit. To contact Indigo, visit beingblissbook.com. Tune in next Tuesday for another inspiring hour of Together in Spirit with Indigo Ocean.